one thing that came to my mind as we were going through the service this morning, and that is thinking of Tommy and Jolene. Les and Tanya. Albeit just Les and the children over in Mongolia. But as we were over in Jamaica last week, that was one thing they said that is really hard. Is when things go on at home. They want to be able to wrap their arms around you and to be there with the church. But they realize that because of the miles, they can't. So as you think of them, lift them up in prayer. We so soon forget how that is to be that far away from home. I know for myself, just having been over there, we were there 5 nights, but I was ready to come home. I wanted to get back to where things were like I knew how they were. And, you know, the language wasn't even, it was even the same language. It wasn't like it was a different language. But I was ready to come home. And so I know that our missionaries do get homesick over there. And then also, just another note is, let's not forget Manuel and Evelyn as we go through this whole time with Gary and Ruth. Whatever ways that God lays on your heart to speak to them, to encourage them, I urge you to do that if you would. When I heard the news about Gary, I actually had checked it on Facebook on, I think it was on Saturday, on Sunday morning, first thing, and I seen that they had taken Gary into the emergency room. And I actually called Elvin and told him about it. So it was kind of ironic that I would find it out over there before he knew it. But as day or so went by, I don't know why, but it just came to my mind that verse in 1 Peter 1:17, and I had learned it in the King James, but it says something about our sojourning. If you remember that verse, it says, "And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." And that verse just really kept coming out and just really kept resonating in my spirit. I don't know why. And NIV would say that we are to pass our time here or to live our lives here as strangers in reverent fear. It says, because the reason is you do this is because we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who will judge each one of you impartially. When you receive the judgment pronounced on you from God the Father, there will not be a question as to whether you were judged rightly or not. You will accept the judgment that was passed upon you. Knowing that, why would you not do everything you can to give your life completely and totally and wholly to Christ? I titled my message this morning, and I'm probably not going to share real long here, but carrying the torch, and this is in thinking of the life Gary lived. The things he has taught me. The things he's taught each one of you. The lessons of example that he has given out through his life. And Gary would hasten to say, "Don't lift me up because I'm a man who has sinned. I'm a man who made mistakes." But the Bible also says we're to give honor where honor is due. As I would think of all the happenings that were going on from Sunday on, such a roller coaster that it was. And I keep thinking, no, it can't be. Maybe it's just a dream. Maybe we'll wake up. And it was just a dream that I had. But why does God allow these things to happen? Why does He take people who are right in the prime of their life, as it were, when God was using him in such a mighty way, in the past year especially, where he went here and there across the globe, spreading the gospel? It seemed like he was being so effective. But yet, God has his purposes. How many of you men remember the times that we met above the Due West fire station? Like on a Saturday morning, I think it was. There's about half a dozen of us total. One of those meetings that we had, I think it was actually several times that we met there, that Gary spoke out of 1 Peter. And I marked it in my Bible. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, he made references to the times that it talks about we as God's people, how we will be suffering, how we will suffer for the name of Christ. And every time I look in there, all I did is I just put the letter S beside each verse. And I'm not even going to draw your attention to all of those this morning. But then as he went on down towards the end of that chapter, he also then made note of all the commands that are in that chapter. And I put a C beside every one of those. And that's something I'd encourage each one of y'all to do. As you hear someone speaking, as there's an impact that's made in your life from Scripture, use your Bible for a notebook. I've even put the person's name down that shared a message on a particular passage, because it'll bring back certain memories of what was said. But I just want to read here in 1 Peter this morning several verses. I'm going to go verses 3 through 7 to start out with. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Is it not, brothers and sisters, in times like this, when we look death square in the face from someone that we love, all this gold, all this silver, all these things that I've worked so hard to attain, all these things I try so hard to hang on to, all of a sudden become pretty meaningless, don't they? But I think God is taking us through a time here, brothers and sisters, in our church here and even in the community around. And He's using our brother to bring us to grips with what is really important. But it says here that we're to praise our God and Father because of the salvation that He has given us, because of the resurrection. But it says it's kept in heaven for you who are shielded by the power of faith in God. If you this morning are sitting here and you do not have that shield of faith on you, then you are not protected by God's power. You will not be enabled to have the strength that God is able to give to His people. And in James 4, I believe it is, it says that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. We are to meet Satan head on and we are to resist him, not on our own strength, but because of this shield of faith that we have. And brothers and sisters, this shield of faith that we have covers us in the front. But if we turn our back and run, we are not protected. The Bible says that we are to resist. We are to resist Satan. We are to stand up and we can plant our feet and we don't have to allow him to gain ground on us. But we can resist him and we can be firm. But we can't do it on our own. We've got to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Let's drop on down in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be ye holy in all that you do. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And in this verse that I alluded to earlier, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. In verse 13, he calls us to action. It's not something that's going to happen just on your own, just because you breathe air. But it says you are to prepare your mind for action. You are to be self-controlled. There's things that you need to take a hold of and to say, no, I'm not going to have any part of this. And there's things that you're going to want to resist, that you cannot do it on your own. You have to have that shield of faith. You have to have that power of God within you in order to resist, in order to control all the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life that each one of us faces. And we're to set, root, ground ourselves fully, deeply in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This grace that we experience, this grace that Gary's experiencing right now is a grace that you don't have. It seems like Gary is a lot more okay with where he's at, where his condition is, knowing that he's, unless something drastically changes, his life on this earth will not be much longer. But he's okay with that. He's at peace with that. And I think that's where God gives us dying grace. He won't give you that before you need it. But we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, that as we live our lives here, that we live it out not in a fearful fear, but in a reverent fear. To looking out for the needs of those around me, forgetting about the needs that I perceive that I have, but looking out and meeting the needs, being a witness to those in the world around me by the way I live my life, by the way I talk my talk and the way I walk my walk. It's been a shame to Christianity. And we think sometimes that we have a better handle on it, but I'm not sure that we do. But someone has said that Christians, their identification, the meaning of the word Christian is someone who 3 hours out of a week lives his life differently than what he does the rest of the week. And we'd like to think that's not us this morning, but that we live our lives day by day to the honor and glory of God. But do you? Do I? Or is it just on Sunday morning when I have these 3 hours that I become a different person? We're to live our lives in reverent fear. I want to go over to 1 John chapter 3, if I may. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, says, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Brothers and sisters, it says, do not allow anyone to lead you astray. Don't allow anyone to put ideas into your head that don't line up with Scripture. That just because you're a good person, that God's going to accept you into His kingdom. Remember, I said that God is going to be the impartial judge on our lives. And when God judges us, and when we come to that final day of judgment, we will not question the end result of what God is going to judge our lives with. There won't be a question, because God will only judge righteous judgment. So He says we're not to be allow ourselves to be led astray. And in that, as we live out our lives, if we have the seed of God within us, that's what's going to give us that power, and that's what's going to give us that strength to face those temptations, to face those trials that we come in encounter with day by day in our lives. We don't have to give in to sin. We don't have to give in to unrighteousness. We don't have to give in to our lusts. But through the strength and the power of Jesus Christ as He lives in and through us is how we're going to overcome. You will not, you cannot, no way do it on your own. You don't have the power. You don't have the strength. Verse 10 says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Are you doing right this morning? And when you talk about doing right, are you doing right by what you think or what scale are you using? What rule of thumb are you using to order to determine that you are doing right? And it goes on to say, you can do what is right, but if you do not love your brother, you're wrong. What does it mean to love your brother? What does it mean to show that kind of agape love? And that's something that's been a burden on my heart, is we say that we love each other, but how much do we love each other, or do we really love each other? The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This morning, I think that's where our brother Gary is, that he is willing to lay down his life for his friends because he has said, do not ask for my recovery. Do not ask for my healing in this earth, but more so for the healing of the body. That we could love each other with fervent love. There's another verse that says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. We say that we love each other, but how many of us would be willing, when it comes down to it, to lay down our life so that my brother can live? We say that we love each other, but when there's disagreements, when I think one way and my brother thinks this way, I'm soon to take my side of it, and I'm just going to run with it. And I'm not willing to give in on my opinion. But I'm right, so I'm going to stick to it. And I'm talking about things that don't really matter. I'm not talking about salvation issues. We don't move on salvation issues. But where are you with the love that you have for your brother? You can do everything right, but if you do not have love for your brother, it's to no avail. Where are you at this morning? Verse 16 in that same chapter says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We can use the words, I love you, all we want. But as the Bible says here, the only way that it's really going to mean anything is by what we do. Our actions need to match up with what we say we are and who we say we are. And I think this morning that would be Brother Gary's burden, his concern, is that we as a church, we bind together. We put aside our differences. Yeah, we're still going to have differences of opinion, but that we would put aside anything that really doesn't matter. And we would come alongside our brothers and our sisters and to hold them up, to be there for them, to know how to pray for them, to know what their needs are, to know what their hurts are, to know what their joys are. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By this is going to cause people to look in on us and say, I don't know what it is, but there's something there. I don't know what it is, but I want that. It's going to be because of the love that we have for each other. By the willingness that I have to sacrifice my own time, my own money, the things that I have for my brother or for my sister. As we live out our lives, and as we think of Gary, and as he continues to live, and as he passes on when God chooses to take him, let's not allow his suffering to have been in vain, because his heart has been so burdened for the lost. His heart has been so burdened for the church. His heart has been so burdened that we as his people would be a people that would work towards one common goal, and that is to reach heaven and to take as many as we can with us by our witness, by our life, by our words, by our testimony. Let's each one check our own life. Don't check the life of your neighbor. But check your own life and see, what has God been telling you? Is there someone you need to go to and make things right? Don't take for granted that you're going to have tomorrow. Do it today. And like Gina shared this morning, you know, we say Gary is going to be the first adult, but we don't know that. We don't know who's going to be the first adult that will be out in the graveyard. Each one of us, our days are numbered. But for each one of us, it's not quite in our face like it is with Brother Gary at this point. I think through this experience, through these times that we're going through, God's going to draw us closer to Him and closer to each other. And I pray that that's what will happen. That even through the hard times, we can see and have already seen God has been working. God has been moving. God has been performing miracles. And for that, we're grateful. But how our hearts ache at the thought of losing. We don't want to give up those that we love. We don't want to give up because I feel like I need my brother Gary yet. I need his input. I need his counsel. I need his advice. But God is a God who is in control. God knows all things. He has all things for our good. We just need to find ourselves in His will. So let's continue to remember the family, to remember each other as a church here, to remember our missionaries that are out away from us. Let's give of ourselves in a sacrificial way for the honor and glory of God. Father in heaven, we ask that you would move on the hearts of each one of us. Lord, would you help each one of us to search our lives? And Lord, if there's areas that we need to speak with someone, that you would give us the strength and the courage to do that. Lord, if there's areas that we have sinned against you, God, if there's areas that we have turned our back on you, Lord, would you remind us? And Lord, I pray that you would grant repentance, that you would grant brokenness. Lord, I pray that we could be clean before you. That Lord, when you come to take us, whether it's while we're living on this earth, one at a time, or whether it's when you come back for your people, that we could be found on that day to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, this is the words that we want to hear. But as we're here on this earth, we need to flesh out your gospel. We need to live out your gospel. We need to even face times of suffering and endurance and trials. Give us strength, Father, as we wait on you. Thank you again for guarding our lives. Thank you again for Brother Gary and for the witness and the mission-mindedness that he has had. And would you continue even to work through his life even now? Would you bring those to him that he would want to speak with? Would you bring those to him that need to know of the gospel message? And Lord, make us be more diligent to spread the news of salvation. Guide us as we leave from here, and keep us in your care. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.